6, Matthew chapter 26, we're going to be looking at verses 50 through 54. If you do not have a Bible, but you have a smartphone, you can download our mobile app, our free mobile app, and on there is a Bible reading plan, and I've been having fun with that thing because it actually reads to you the verses if you choose that particular option. And I've been reading in First Chronicles, and it's been some very difficult names. And I'm like, oh, that's how you pronounce those names, because the mobile app has been reading it to us. So if you have a smartphone, download the Breakthrough Church app and join the hundreds of people who have been blessed by it. And follow that daily reading plan. Follow that daily reading plan. You go through the Bible in a year. Matthew chapter 26, verses 50 through 54. Also looking at Luke chapter 22, verse 51, which is just a little more detail to this particular story. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the word. Verse 50 says this, but Jesus said to him, talking about, he said to Judas, this is Jesus in the garden of as he is being arrested and about to be tried and convicted. Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen this way? Verse 52, for emphasis, Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Today I want to talk from the subject, how to be a witness when the system fails. When the system fails. You may be seated. How to be a witness when the system fails. Brothers and sisters, throughout the course of this great country's history, in the judicial, the legislative, the executive offices, the system has, from time to time, failed the people. There's been instances of cases where innocent people were convicted. There's been cases of people who were guilty, but they were acquitted. The system, throughout the course of history, is peppered with instances of people who have been failed by the system. And today I stand before you on this Sunday morning, just hours after a verdict was rendered in the case that gripped America and drew our attention to this racial situation between this man, this neighborhood watch person, and a young black male named Trayvon Martin. My brothers and sisters, I'm not going to offer up my opinion on whether or not it should have went this way or that way, but certainly there are individuals who believe that the system failed. And that may be true, that may not be true. I'm sure that there are many people that believe that the system worked perfectly in this situation. But sometimes the system fails. And can I tell you why the system sometimes fails? Because the system is not perfect. We live in an imperfect world. We live in times that are peppered with sin as a result of the fall of man. And so we do not live in a perfect society. And since we don't live in a perfect society, we do not have perfect systems. And sometimes the system fails. So my task this morning is to teach us, is to examine this passage of Scripture. Because even though we may be thinking about the Trayvon Martin, the George Zimmerman case, all of this type of thing, that may be fresh on our minds this morning. Long ago, over 2,000 years ago, there was another system that failed. Because an innocent man named Jesus was arrested, was convicted, and was put to death. And he didn't do anything wrong. The system failed. And Jesus takes an opportunity to teach his disciples how to be a witness when the system fails. My brothers and sisters, you have to understand the system broke down. The system failed. Here's the system that Peter and the disciples lived in. The system that they lived in was that they trusted the religious leaders to tell them when the Messiah was on earth. And the system failed because the religious leaders, instead of them pointing to Jesus saying, "That's the Messiah," they pointed to Jesus and said, "We want him dead." And the system failed. So can you imagine this garden moment when Jesus and his disciples are there, and one of the disciples apparently is part of the system failure, comes with the army, comes with this group of people, this group of soldiers to arrest Jesus. Can you imagine what Peter and the rest of the disciples are thinking? This is the Messiah. This is the very Son of God. This man has done nothing but help people. This man has done nothing but heal people. This man has shown us that he is truly indeed divine, that he is 100% man, but 100% God. This is the Son of God. And yet here's some soldiers coming to arrest him. The system failed. And Peter and the disciples see what's going on with this. They see this crowd of people that are coming to arrest Jesus. And there is something that takes place, because the Bible tells us that Peter decides to take some action into his own hands. He says, "The system failed. I'm going to do something about it." And it says that Peter cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. His name is Malchus. In other books of the Bible, it tells us, other Gospels, it tells us that the man who got his ear cut off, his name was Malchus. He was the servant to the high priest. The high priest is the one that was causing all this commotion, but he sent his servant to go get Jesus. And so Peter cut off this man's ear because he recognized that the system had failed. My brothers and sisters, we have to recognize that we as believers don't operate like that. Because Jesus came to help us to recognize that on this earth there will be many systems that will fail. But the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that Jesus came to tell us about a whole nother system. He came to tell us about the system that is called the kingdom of God. And there's different ways that we operate according to the kingdom of God. We don't pull out our knife and cut off ears. That's not what God has called us to do. Instead, he has called us to do a few things. And this is what we want to look at on today. The first thing I believe that Jesus tells us to do, to be a witness when the system fails, is to first and foremost restrain ourselves. Restrain ourselves. Say that with me. Restrain ourselves. Turn to your neighbor. Say, restrain yourself. I like the way y'all fluctuated with that. Yeah, to restrain yourself. Restrain yourself. Listen, it says in verse 52, after Peter cuts off the man's ear, look at what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't turn to him and say, "That's my boy right there. He's down for me." All that. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Put that sword up. For all," listen to what he says, "who take the sword will perish by the sword." When the system fails, it is important for us not to react impulsively. Peter saw that Jesus, an innocent man, was about to be arrested and ultimately killed, and his reaction was to be violent. And this is not the way that Jesus wanted him to react. He says, no. Even though violence is about to occur, I don't want you to react. I don't want you to act impulsively with violence. And my brothers and sisters, it's important for us to catch this thing. that sometimes when the system fails, we want to retaliate. We want to tear some stuff up. We want somebody to pay. And can I be honest with you? Let me just talk to us on this. I spent a couple of hours just fascinated by the comments that I was seeing online after that verdict. I was seeing comments that were threatening Zimmerman. I was seeing comments about he could burn in hell and all these types of things. I was seeing all these types of comments. And here's what was so striking about that. All of those comments were coming from Christians. We don't operate like that. The system may have failed, but we don't operate according to that system anyway. We operate according to the kingdom of God. And there is no place for us to react like that. There's no place for us to whip out our knife like Peter did and get ready to cut somebody's ear off. And yet, the comments that I saw were people calling for the head of this man. And it's so interesting that we who claim to be believers, we who claim to be Christians, we who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ can be so quick to want to hurt somebody, to want somebody to pay, to want somebody to feel the punishment for something. I'm not suggesting that justice shouldn't be served and all of those types of things. That's not what I'm saying. But we've got to be very careful of the things that come out of our mouths, because the Bible tells us to judge not lest you be judged according to the same measure. What if you were the one that was acquitted of something? Would you want somebody coming after you? What if that was your son that was acquitted of a crime? Would you want someone coming after your child? Would you want someone threatening you? So we've got to be so careful how we respond to things. Dr. Martin Luther King said these words: we must conduct ourselves on the higher plane of discipline and dignity. Oh, how difficult that is. That's difficult when you just want somebody to pay for what they did. But that's not what this is about. When you are operating according to the kingdom of God, we need to recognize that we operate according to a different system. And God told Peter, Jesus told Peter, you need to restrain yourself. Put up your sword. Everybody say, put up your sword. Listen. We may not have swords, but we got some keyboards, and we got some pens, and we got some things. We're on the phone, and we're on the text message, and we're saying some different things. Be careful what you say about folks. Be careful what you say about certain situations. Because you never know when you'll be in that type of situation. And don't sit up here and say, I'll never be in this type of situation. Do you think that the Martin family thought that they would be in this situation? And I doubt very seriously that the Zimmerman family thought that they would be in this situation. But here they are. So be very, very careful in how you respond, how you react to the system failing. Jesus said, restrain yourself. We ought to learn how to restrain ourselves. Listen, brothers and sisters, we ought to learn how to restrain ourselves just so that we don't cause some mess, so that we don't get in trouble, so that we don't get ourselves hurt. Here's the thing. I learned a long time ago to be careful and not to react impulsively, because sometimes I can react impulsively thinking that I can take that person that hurt me and find out the hard way that that person can take me. In other words, my mind is telling me I can get them. But the reality is that I can't get them. And here's the thing. We've got to recognize and understand, brothers and sisters, that restraint is a quality of a child of God.
All right. Yes.
You ought not just want to cuss everybody out because they wronged you. Right. You ought to have some restraint. And sometimes it takes you to asking the Lord, Lord, please bridle my tongue. Hold me back. Help me, Lord, because I'm ready to go there. I'm about to go there. I feel it. I'm rising up. I've got it all laid out in my mind about what I'm going to do. Please help me, Lord. You need to restrain yourself. I need to restrain myself. I got it bad on the basketball court. When I'm on the basketball court, if somebody fouls me the wrong way, I'm about to go at it with them. But I have to restrain myself. Because in a moment, my life could change. My life could change. Over the course of 4 minutes, as we discovered with this trial, the lives of two men changed. 4 minutes. Less than that, even at a certain point, 2 minutes. The course of two men's lives changed. So Jesus is saying to Peter, Peter whips out his sword and he cuts off the ear of Malchus. And Jesus says, put up your sword. Don't do that, because those who live by the sword will die by the sword. You don't have to go off on somebody. You don't have to do that. Here's the thing. Here's the reason why. Because that person that is acting ignorant to you, you don't have to do much, because they're so ignorant, they're going to get themselves into some issues that you don't even have to do anything with. So you don't have to worry about that person. You don't have to worry about retaliating on someone. You don't have to do all of that. That's not your responsibility. Restrain ourselves. What do we do? How do we be witnesses in a failed system? Restrain ourselves. Don't go off. Don't cuss them out. Don't hurt anybody. Restrain yourself. Here's the second thing. Here's the second thing. What's the first thing?
Restrain ourselves.
That's good. I like that. Second thing is remember who's in control. That's it right there. That's really the meat of the message. Remember, because that's what Jesus focuses in on. He says, Peter, put your sword up. And here's why he says, not only because the person who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. He says something. He asks him a question. He says, Peter, do you really think that these people have come out against me? And do you really think I can't do anything about it? That's what he's saying. Listen, y'all need to read the Bible as it is. Jesus is saying, listen, I got this. Are you really pulling out a sword when I can call a legion of angels? Are you really pulling out this little knife when I can call the heavenlies to come and just wipe everybody out if I really wanted to? Are you really pulling out your pocket knife when I can call out over 12,000 angels? Put that little knife away. And that's how we need to think. We need to recognize that whatever it is that we are intending on doing to a person pales in comparison to what God can do. Now, here's the thing. I want to make sure we're clear on this, because sometimes we'll say, oh, well, God will get them and God will judge them and this and that. Listen, God is not your personal bodyguard. He is not your assassin. He's not your hitman. He's not your holy hitman. Lord, go get that person for doing. That's not how he operates. So stop looking for God to wipe out your enemy. That's not how he operates. Because the truth be told, he may bring to your understanding the fact that you were wrong.
Yes, yes.
Then what you gonna do? You might be the enemy. You might be the wrong person. So be careful on saying or suggesting or thinking that God is going to go after the person and get revenge on the person and do this to the person. I'm hearing all of this stuff and seeing all of this stuff, and I'm like, we don't operate according to that system. People are saying, now vengeance is mine, thus says the Lord. Do you recognize that context of him saying that is when someone has done something wrong against him?
All right.
Y'all don't. Against him. Just think about it. People have wronged you all your life. I mean, different people have wronged you throughout the course of your life. They still walking around, ain't they? But folks who wrong God will have to answer. That's the vengeance is mine, thus says the, and all of those. Don't think that God is going to be your holy hitman. That's not how he operates. But it's important to understand what Jesus is telling Peter. Jesus is telling Peter, Peter, I've got this. I can handle this. Here's what's so significant about this. He's saying, Peter, there is nothing that is taking place right now that I don't know about.
All right.
I think part of the reason why we respond the way we respond is because we are shocked by it. We are thrown by it, like, oh my God, how did this happen? How could this happen? And there's two parts about that. First of all, we have to recognize that things like this happen often. More often than we recognize. Here's the thing. We need to open up our eyes and realize that. That there are young men dying every day. Every day. While we're sitting here in church, there's somebody dying. While we go home and we're on our way home, somebody's dying. There's young men that are dying every day. Every day. And then we need to recognize it also that God is in control. Here's the thing. It may be a shock to us. It may be surprising to us, but it's not surprising to God. It didn't shock him. It didn't throw him off. It didn't surprise him that that happened. God is in control. It's a difficult thing sometimes for us to think about that because it challenges our theology. If God knew that this was going to happen, if God knew what was going on, why didn't he allow him to go down a different street? Or why didn't he allow this to happen? And why didn't he allow these things to happen? Do not blame God for what man does. Do not blame God for what man does. We operate in sin. We do our thing. God does not make us do anything. If that was the case, God would make all of us believers and great disciples and we'd be living for the Lord. If that was the case. But the Lord knows that the majority of us have work to do in that area, right? Because he doesn't make us do anything. So it's important for us to get that. That when Jesus says to Peter, put your sword up, don't you realize that I could call a legion of angels? I can wipe all of this out. He's saying, I am in control. I'm in control. I have this. And so there's nothing that surprises God. There's nothing that gets past him. So how do we deal with that though? We have to remember that in this fallible, imperfect system that is around us, the kingdom of God never fails. Never fails. The kingdom of God never fails. And though we may be upset, though we may be angered, though we may be afraid, though we may say or disappointed, let down by the system failing, we have to recognize that God has called us to operate according to a perfect system. And we have to start thinking differently. And recognize that he is in control. He says to restrain yourself, Peter. Restrain yourself and remember who's in control. But can I tell you, can I show you a powerful, powerful thing that Jesus does? He not only tells Peter to restrain yourself. He not only says, remember who's in control. But then Jesus does something that is probably the most difficult thing for us as believers to do. He reaches out and helps the one who came to hurt him. Yeah. It's in Luke. Listen, Luke. It's in Luke. Luke chapter 22, verse 51. Luke is explained. Luke is a physician, so he's being more detailed in what happened to Malchus when he got his ear cut off. Luke says this in 22:51. He says, Jesus answered and said, permit even this. He said, do even this. And he touched the ear and healed him. So even when he's about to be arrested, even though when he's about to be wrongfully convicted, Peter grabs a knife and cuts off the ear of the servant. Jesus reaches out and heals the servant's ear. That's powerful. Come here, let me ask you a question. How many of us would be inclined to reach out to the Zimmerman family? How many of us would be inclined to pray with him to see if there's something that he needs to help others to recognize? Don't jump on them. Don't beat them down. None of that. How many of us would be inclined to do that? Because Jesus looked in the face of the person who came to arrest him, who he knew was about to take him, and who he knew was about to accuse him, and he knew he was about to be killed. He looked in the face of that person and healed that person. We don't operate according to the broken systems of this world. We respect them and we recognize the laws and all of that. But the kingdom of God is a totally different system. The kingdom of God says, love your enemies. The kingdom of God says, turn the other cheek. The kingdom of God tells you to look at things differently and to treat people different than what you naturally would do. If somebody hurt my family, somebody hurt my children, I have to admit, I would have to go back and listen to this sermon. I know, I'm being real. I'm not telling you all to do something that, you know, I'm not suggesting that Pastor Cobbs has reached that plateau and it's like, okay, anyone can hurt me and I'll just keep on going. I'm going to keep on going, but I would wrestle with it. I would struggle with it because my family is everything to me. Okay? But, we have to recognize that God expects us to put his mandates above everything. Look how quiet it is. How quiet it is. Come here, Aaron. Come here, Aaron. Come here, young man. Come here. Come here, Will. How old are you, Will? Wow, 12. Amen. How old are you, son? 15. How old are you? 17. 17. How old was Trayvon Martin? 17. Look at these young men. Good looking young men. Responsible young men. Don't get into any major trouble, anything like that. They do what they're supposed to do. These are our sons. And something happened to our sons. It would stir something up in us, wouldn't it? If something happened to our sons, it would stir something up in us. And this is what happened. This is who Trayvon Martin was. I mean, we know that some pictures were painted of some different things or whatever, but he was someone's son. He was someone's child. And his life was snuffed out. Now, again, I'm not putting an opinion on whether or not it was lawful, whatever, you know, it was right, this as far as what the verdict was. But I'm looking at these young men, and I recognize that we live in an imperfect system, that the odds are against these young men. Because we live in an imperfect system. Let's be real. We have to be honest about it. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do to make sure that these young men are able to navigate through an imperfect system? What do we need to do? How do we help them to be able to be responsible citizens, to do what they need to do, and be able to be cautious and aware of what's going on around them? We teach them, and we love them, and we keep on informing them. But here's the reality, my brothers and sisters. The reality is you can teach, and you can show them, and you can show them, and this imperfect system still can cause harm. And so what our responsibility is, to them, to the ladies in here, to everyone in here, our responsibility, to these babies in here, our responsibility is to teach them about the perfect system. Because we have no control over the imperfect. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen to me. We don't know what's going to happen. But we can teach them about the perfect system, which is the kingdom of God, and place the kingdom of God within their hearts and help them to understand who they are in Christ Jesus and help them to become the men of God that he is destined for them to become. That's what we can do. Go ahead and sit down. That's what we can do. But there's something else, and I'm done. There's something else that Jesus shows the disciples in the text. He shows them and tells them and teaches them, you don't have to react like this. You don't have to respond like this because I have it under control. And he says something to them. The reason that this is happening is so that the scriptures can be fulfilled. He says it's all part of the plan. It's all part of the purpose. And here's what Jesus is showing them. He's showing them, yes, the system has failed in this situation. But I want you to be a part of changing the system. That's what he's teaching them. For 3.5 years, I've been walking with you all to teach you to change the system. Because you are now going to go head to toe against these religious leaders. And how many of us are going around and we see a church of the Pharisees or the Sadducees? We don't. Why? Because they changed, the disciples changed the system in which they were in, and the church of God began to spread, and it took over. We, my brothers and sisters, we don't need to sit back and wait for something to happen and be reactionary. We are called to change the system. We are the salt and the light of the world. And God expects us to change the system. And so my challenge to us today is not to write a bunch of stuff on Facebook, not to call people and talk about and give our opinion about this and this and that. That's fine, and then if that makes you feel good and get it all out. But my challenge to you today is, what are we going to do to change the system? We know it's imperfect. We know it has failed us time and time again, but what are we going to do to change the system? Jesus was showing them, I came to change the system. And the only way that they are able to take me into custody right now, the only way that I'm giving myself up freely is because I recognize that what I'm about to do on the cross will change the system. And my brothers and sisters, even with our legal system, our social system, even with all of these things, the cross can still change the system. Amen. But the people of God, instead of pulling out your knives, instead of rising up, instead of bucking up against the people of God, they educate ourselves, inform ourselves, and be active in the courtroom. Those young men that came up there, those young ladies that are here, these babies that are here, another thing we can do to help them to change the system is we're trying to keep them out of the system, but we really should shift that way of thinking and say, you know what, I want you to be a part of the system because I want you to be a lawyer. I want you to be a judge. I want you to be part of the system because I want you to change it from the inside out. I want you to get in there and I want you to take the kingdom of God into that system and change it and shift it around. Don't be a part of the system on the other side of the bench. Be a part of the system. Wear that robe and make some decisions that are godly and God-based. Change the system. The cross can change the system. Let's stand to our feet.